Next on BYUSN, with the Cougar quarterback entering the transfer portal yesterday, how has the portal changed the future of the position in Provo? Men's basketball assistant coach Brandon Dunson makes his show debut. Why BYU was the right move for him, and how close are we to the roster and coaching staff being filled out?
Also ahead, Matt Brown from Extra Points Newsletter will join us to talk about revenue sharing, unlimited transfers, and the latest on that college football video game we're all waiting for. Plus, Zach Wilson and the Broncos, the decision made on Tuesday that will shape his future with the team. It's all coming up.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, May 1st. Congrats, John Rothstein. You can sleep now. And to Justin Timberlake, who made this day even more famous than it should be. I am Jerem Jordan. He is a dude who appreciates random posts of former Cougars, Dave McCann.
Love random posts, and here's one of them. An X account yesterday called College Basketball's Collective Posts, a random college basketball player every day. Kind of like how we do our shout-outs at the end of every
show. Somewhat random as well.
So yesterday was Tyler Haas, of course.
Yeah.
Why not?
Our guy.
What's your favorite Tyler Haas memory?
I have a new one. Yesterday when we were playing golf, and I had just a terrible swing on the show yesterday. Tyler Haas had
We saw one of those live.
Yes, you did. I had many more after that and before. Tyler Haas made a 25-foot eagle putt. Just Drano. It was incredible.
So was it lucky, or did he know what he was
skilled.
Doing?
No, skilled. All skill. Tyler's pretty good at golf, man.
Yeah, good.
That's awesome.
So that was it? That moved it right to the top of the list?
I think so. The recency bias list, yes.
When you think of Tyler Haas' career, you think of consistency. Yeah. You'd sit there and go, hey, what was the one big And, I mean, it was a layup against Portland that broke Jimmer's scoring record. That's how exciting that was.
Something simple.
But it was steady Eddie the whole way. And Dellavedova stole his greatest BYU
moment. Yes, it did.
Hits that three against St. Mary's.
Yep.
He hits the half-court shot at the buzzer seconds later. That would have been the, hey, you remember where were you when Haas buried that shot? So he doesn't really have one of those. But what he does have is the all-time scoring record and a 25-foot eagle putt.
Pretty good. He beat Texas on the one-footer with like 20 seconds left. He beat Santa Clara in the WCC tournament quarterfinals with a free-throw line jumper. So he had several game winners, but the St. Mary's one would have been
moments.
Like, yeah, would have been that one for sure. Okay, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
It's always hard when there's people trying to sway our players to get out of there, you know. And
in today's world, you have to recruit your own guys, and they have to believe in you.
There's a draw here for the right people and the way we want to play the game of football.
Cougar football, how many days away? I don't know, but we're excited about it. BYU quarterback Ryder Burton yesterday entered the transfer portal. He had not played in any games the past 2 years, kid out of Springville High School. So we asked the question, how has the transfer portal changed the future of BYU's quarterback position? Because it certainly feels like the portal is weighing heavily into what BYU does now.
Well, we're living in it in real time, right? Because they sign a kid out of the transfer portal, and then Burton goes in the transfer portal. So Burton didn't like that, clearly. I said, hey, I thought you were growing me to be the guy. And then all of a sudden you see this, and you're going, well, clearly that's not the case.
TBA player.
And that's today's thing. I call it the tomato theory. Are you ready for the tomato theory?
I'm ready.
So stores have always had tomatoes shipped in from somewhere else. To get the really good ones here in Utah, you grow them yourself. Or you go to someone who's growing them themselves. Stores get smart. They go, hey, you know what? I'm going to do a deal with local growers to bring those homegrown tomatoes into my store. So what do? We stop growing tomatoes because it's too easy to go to the store and get five of them instead of spend all spring and summer watering, weeding, and caring for them till finally having the harvest.
Yeah.
That's what the transfer portal has done to college football. And we're seeing it here at BYU. It's not about who can we get and raise. It's who can fix something right now. We're seeing it all over the country. And Ryder Burton is a local kid who we kind of thought was growing into this role. And now he's out and replaced by, in theory, a kid that we went to the store and got. And that's changed the game forever. And it's changed it right here at home. And you think about the BYU quarterbacks of the glory years. They were grown here.
They were homegrown. They
came as freshmen.
And
with the
waited.
Exception, yeah. Steve Sarkisian started, Steve Sarkisian came from junior college. Max Hall started at Arizona State and then came after his mission. So,
it's barely there.
Those are the two notables that were purchased somewhere else, so
yes.
to speak. And that's long before the transfer portal.
Yes.
That seems to be the world we're in.
Taysom Hill technically signed at Stanford and then transferred to BYU. He never played there, right?
And his coach was gone.
Count him there, whatever. Yeah. But you're right. Like, you look at the last couple of years, BYU's notable quarterbacks drafted in the NFL, Zach Wilson, Jaren Hall, homegrown, local guys, Corner Canyon in Draper, Maple Mountain in Spanish Fork with Jaren. Pretty interesting, right? Baylor Romney was technically signed with Nevada out of high school's transfer that way. But last year, it's Keaton Slovis, it's Jake Retzloff. This year, it's Gary Bohannon out of Baylor in South Florida, Jake Retzloff out of Riverside, Cade Finnegan out of Boise State, a player, TBA, from a local university, even Cole Hagan from Yale, Trayson Borgay from Western Michigan.
Right.
There's four dudes now, once this new guy's in, that have started FBS games. And Cade Finnegan didn't start an FBS game, but he certainly played a bunch against BYU, which seems to be a model for who a BYU quarterback is.
Did
you play against BYU? Keaton Slovis, Gary Bohannon, Cade Finnegan among them most recently. So it is interesting. Does BYU in the Big 12 era have the time to home grow a guy? Because in 2018 and 19, Dave, BYU was 7-6, went through some struggles, but yielded 2020 and 21 because those guys got those experience, Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall notably. Is there time for that? Is the urgency for a coaching staff to have to win now? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
So I wonder, we will have a homegrown BYU quarterback in the future. I just wonder if the portal is what dominates that, because clearly that's the direction BYU is going. Right,
when now, you can get somebody with experience, and we heard Ty Detmer talking about it, fewer coaches came to his school to recruit his kids because of the portal. They're like, you know what, we'll let him go somewhere else. Work out all those bugs, and then we'll get him.
He's feeding his guys to BYU, by the way. The last two starters have signed with BYU. Enoch Watson, the last one.
But the noticeable trend is, I don't have time. By the way, I don't even know if I can keep you if you're that good. So you go work that out. I can't afford a risk over here. I got to go get somebody. And with the money and the opportunity and the way college football is today, can a head coach really go, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice a couple seasons and bring this kid along?
It might cost you your job if you're not good enough.
Right.
You don't have a guaranteed three-year window. Like, things go sour, like, you have to win or there is pressure on you. And you can only sort of dismiss your one side of the ball so often, right? Right now, BYU feels like it's in a decent spot. The standard is make a bowl game. It's not to win the Big 12 quite yet. We certainly hope that it gets to that soon. But this year, it's, hey, we got to make a bowl game. And so you've got a room with Gary Bohannon out of Baylor, Jake Retzloff from Riverside, Cade Finnegan from Boise State, TBA quarterback, as we mentioned. You got Cole Hagan from Yale, Nick Billups. You signed Noah Lugo out of high school, Trayson Borgay. We'll see if all those guys are in the room come fall. They've got to jump in the portal if they're going to soon. But, it's pretty interesting to see how that's going.
Had it worked last year with Keaton, had Keaton not got hurt and BYU goes to a bowl game and overachieves in their first year in the Big 12, it's like, okay, that's how we do it.
Yeah.
But because he got hurt and then they finished with five straight losses, all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe that's not it. Who do we got? Who are we growing? And the answer is, we're not really growing anyone that's started, because the one who was is now in the portal, and that makes people nervous.
And even if you get six or seven wins, the difference between 5 and 7, obviously one is going to the bowl game, one is not, is you're not competing in the Big 12 for a championship. We'd like to get to the 8-plus range, which, by the way, Nick Billups is in the portal, to clarify. Yep. Our question of the day is this. Do you think that shopping the transfer portal is the best way for BYU to secure quarterbacks moving forward? Steven on X. No, A-Rod has shown that he can develop guys and put them in the NFL. These one-year rentals aren't going to help us long-term. I'd rather have an off-year developing a young quarterback than bring in someone from the portal who's going to help for maybe 1 year if they can get up to speed on the offense quickly enough. The sense of urgency is high. I think we're in the, it's going to be a rental more often than not space now.
I think so. I think
In the Big 12.
When the recruiting season opened, ESPN put a graphic up and said, here's the top 10 quarterbacks, here's what they're going to cost. Yeah, and that's what they did cost. And there were 10 schools that bought them up. Yeah, we're not in that game.
We're
a couple pages down from that.
Yeah.
But this is where the game is. And if you want a quarterback that doesn't make you nervous so much, that's how much it costs. And it's like going to the store. What do you want, a generic, or do you want you want Kellogg's? This is what you have.
One time a basketball coach told me, look, for $2 million you can put together a men's basketball roster that will get you an NCAA tournament worthy roster. And then Final Four is $4 or $5 million. That may have gone up from
inflation.
When I heard it. But that what is it for football, man? If you want a great quarterback, he's either got to be on your roster already and he wants to stay and you're taking care of him in NIL, which, by the way, it's year-to-year transfers, Dave. This is anything you think you know this year could change next year, not to mention the way that the landscape continues to evolve so quickly. At some point, if BYU wants to win the Big 12, they probably need to be in the buy a quarterback game.
Isn't it interesting that Kevin Young's point is he wants BYU to become a place that puts kids into the NBA? And NBA kids are one-and-doners or two and out, and maybe that's the game of the four-year, five-stars guys don't exist anymore. So maybe the train of thought is, let's get the best ones so they're going to the NBA because I can put them there, and then we'll kind of see how it
you
goes.
You do have to pay for them. So yeah. That's going to be interesting. We put out a poll on X with that question about is shopping in the portal the best way to secure BYU quarterbacks moving forward? 82% of you say no. 18% of you say yes. Now, this is interesting because the landscape is going that the portal is the way.
Yeah.
So we'll see what BYU does. BYU does it the BYU way. They are not in the buy the quarterback game at the moment. Will BYU be that way in the future? Can BYU be contending for a Big 12 title without a heavily paid NIL quarterback? It is a question we've got to figure out here.
Yeah, yeah. Is it the best way? Is it the way? That's the debate.
Are there other ways to do it? BYU is certainly unique, but you're going to have a cat that will settle for less if BYU is not going to pay him to be here, right?
A lot of reaction on that. Continue to weigh in using the hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Topic two, another hot-button item. Pete Thamel reported earlier this week, leaders of college sports are involved in deep discussions to reach a legal settlement that would likely lay out the framework for sharing revenue with athletes in a future NCAA business model, sources told me, and at Dan Murphy ESPN. And there's a big article that Dan wrote about it. This is interesting because there's like four major lawsuits at play. The NCAA is going to lose all of them, and it could be $4 billion that they end up paying out. That's the schools and the NCAA. It's all one group here. So the settlement is the discussion now. How to manage it. But in that settlement, there has to be a plan moving forward or you're just going to get sued again.
Yep.
This is the game changer moment, I think.
It's crazy. And there could be back pay. There's present, there's future, which could be the new structure of college athletics, Pete Thamel explained. So there could be revenue sharing. This is more of the pro model, right? That includes TV, tickets, etc. The ballpark to some campuses, it sounds like mostly P5 is my understanding. Maybe I'm off on that. Would be 15 to 20 mil per campus per year.
Yeah,
that would certainly aid, a program like BYU. And would the SEC and Big Ten kind of put their elbows in there a little bit to be like, well, actually, we get 30, you guys get 10 or 5, because that's what they kind of tried to do. But
and then schools have to decide: does it go to football? Does it trickle down to softball and golf?
How does this work? There's lots to figure out. Thamel said it's not at the finish line. But that is why, I mean, we're not far from this being completely pro.
Right.
Like, you still go to school for whatever reason. Given all of this, it's like, school's still part of this for these guys, right? They represent your brand, which is your school, which happens to be an academic institution. But it is wild how quickly things are going that direction.
And the old school reaction, there's a lot of that many, is no, I don't want that. But then let's think about it for a moment. Even this morning, we have students who are working cameras and shooting this show.
Yep.
This is their job on campus. They might go into this field, they might not, but right now this is their job. Well, L.J. Martin, why can't it be his job to run the football down the street at his job, which is football games? And when you put that in context of they want to be part of the argument in one of these lawsuits is, let's make them employees of the university and compensate them. We're surrounded by student employees
taxes,
all over the place.
Yep.
So is it really that different? But it's sports, and so then we kind of put out a stiff arm to go, no, I don't want that, but it's
It
coming.
Hasn't been this way, but there are a lot of dollar signs next to what a lot of these guys do of football and men's basketball. So we'll have more of this topic coming up with Matt Brown later in the program. Okay, topic three. What are you hoping happens next? BYU men's basketball signs a player from the portal or hires another assistant coach?
Well, I'm eager for our discussion coming up with the only pair of boots on the ground, it seems right now, with the first assistant coach. I think I would love to see, I'd like to see both, but I'd love to see the staff finalized, because then you've got your house in order and you can go out and sell it. But every day we're on social media, we see players committing this school, committing that school, and there's always someone that says, and BYU reached out to them and nothing, and BYU reached. I think fans would love to see someone. They won't know them for the most part, but just someone that goes, hey, such and such from here has chosen BYU. Okay, we're in the game. And because that's how we react as fans. It's like, are we in this or not? But I think it still goes back to before you can get in that game, you've got to have your house in order. So I'd like to see the staff finalized here ASAP.
I don't really mind which happens first because I know BYU is actively going after both at the same time. And I think it'll be, you know, a rush over the next several weeks of coaches and players as BYU gets not only assistants but who's your director of basketball operations. Do they go to a pro model where there's kind of a general manager over the program? We'll see. That I wouldn't be surprised if that happens or not. I like you, I'm excited to hear from Brandon Dunson coming up. I do know that Kevin Young is not sleeping a ton and that he is literally, I have heard this, he is literally on the phone at midnight and 1 a.m. often trying to figure this out. Now that the Suns are out of the playoffs, he can go full bore, which the Big 12 basketball coaches meetings were in Phoenix, ironically enough, yesterday.
Down the street.
So convenient for him. And now he can get to Provo, I would imagine, later this week. But again, we'll talk to Brandon Dunson.
And we know he's putting a schedule together because things start leaking out from the other schools that they're going to play BYU on this date and that date. So there's that stuff going too. But, man, you know, he's a juggler. It's good to have one less ball up there.
Exactly.
With the Suns being
done. We know about 6 of the 11 games in non-conference, which, by the way, goes to 11, not 13, because you have 20 conference games this year instead of 18. So more with Brandon Dunson on the subject coming up later.
Hey, speaking of Phoenix, we were mentioning Phoenix a moment ago. The guys are heading to Phoenix, BYU-SN.
It's going to be hot.
1 hour special at the BYU Fan Fest right there in the Valley of the Sun. And it's coming up May 18th, noon Eastern time, BYU TV, BYU Radio. Of course, the Cougars return to the Phoenix area, take on Arizona State in football the week before Thanksgiving when it's cold up here and it's ideal down there.
I was going to say, we couldn't do this in February. May will be great, too. That'll be awesome. Up next, Kevin Young's first hire, assistant coach Brandon Dunson, on why the Cougars worked out for him and how close are we to the staff and roster being filled out. This is BYU Sports Nation.
The big thing is getting the right people in here. That's what I told the players. I want guys in here that are going to help get them better. We need boots on the ground. There's no question about it.
Waterman for the hammer. Noah Waterman dunks it. Right to the rim. Up and in. Richie. Straight away. Nell. He knocks it down. There it is.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation in Studio B, your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Our first guest of the day is the newest assistant coach of the Kevin Young regime, the pride of Bloomington, Illinois, an Arizona State alum. He is Brandon Dunson. Brandon, welcome to the program, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Excited to be on.
Okay, lots going on with Cougar hoops right now, but let's start at the very beginning. What was it about BYU that enticed you to want to be an assistant here and Kevin Young's first hire?
I've said this a few times. I was actually finalizing another job that later that week. Kevin got the job on Tuesday, gave me a call. It was actually our first time ever talking. We had a lot of mutual friends, people we worked with we both respected that was kind of our connection. So sat down, met with him, and just loved everything he was about, loved how he approached this entire situation, his mentality coming in from the NBA, but the respect that he had for the college level, and then knowing that he wanted to do things the right way, he's value-oriented, and we just really, really clicked. Obviously, BYU has been a successful program. Great fan support, and it's a values-driven university, and so that all kind of just lined up for me, so it ended up working out.
So what was his pitch to you? We want to go do this, this, and this, and go here. What got you to go, yeah, I want to be on board with that?
Well, a big thing was that he talked about trying to win championships and at the same time develop pros, but do it the right way. Not just be win at all costs, like build it the right way. And then he talked about me and him partnering and me helping him adjust to the college landscape, not just the college basketball on court, but the recruiting piece of it, the administrative piece of it, and and helping him learn those things. So I thought it was an exciting challenge. And honestly, the opportunity to learn from him. I mean, the top assistant in the NBA, you're not going to get much more of a better teacher of the game. So that was a big piece. And talking basketball with him, I pride myself in knowing all the latest things going on and knowing the ins and outs and details of the game. And he made me feel like I didn't know too much after talking to him. So I'm like, this is a guy. Big time.
In a friendly, good way, hopefully, I would imagine.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
Was there a mutual contact? Was there a connection there, or was it out of the blue?
It was honestly out of the blue. I mean, we had, like I said, we had people that we both knew and respected. And so we both did some checks and balances, and it checked out. But it was really out of the blue. Like I said, I was finalizing a deal with another university out east, and yeah, it just happened, and it felt right.
We started the segment with a soundbite from Coach Young talking about needing to get boots on the ground. You are the boots on the ground. When it comes to the rest of the staff, where is the process at? Do you have guys hired already, just not announced, or are the two of you still putting it together?
No one is currently hired yet, but I think we have a good idea. We're finalizing some things. I think we have a good group of guys that we're kind of selecting from or offering jobs. And I think we have a good feel for some of those guys who would accept. And so I think we're going to put a good staff together, both mix of college, pro. So I think it's going to be really good.
Meanwhile, you're trying to finish the staff. You're trying to get this year's team. You've offered guys for next year already. What's it like right now as you try and pull all this together?
It's hectic for sure, especially with Kevin doing double duty. But I can tell you, I mean, I don't know if there's a guy who could have done a better job with it. I mean, he probably got 3 to 4 hours of sleep. And it sounds like coach talk, but it's reality. I mean, we were on the phone at midnight, 1 a.m. many nights, talking through this stuff. So, I mean, he's been as invested as he could potentially, as he could possibly be with everything going on. So, no, it's definitely been hectic, but hoping that this week we can start everyone, me and him, getting into the office and then getting the staff together and being able to continue to be more and more organized with things now that things are slowing down a little bit from the Suns standpoint.
You got to hurry and get here because you're the first assistant hired, so you get the best office among the assistants, right? That's a big deal.
No doubt.
After you took the job, then you go and look at the roster and see what hand that you've been dealt. And the big news in Cougar Nation, of course, the last week was Richie Saunders coming back, Dallin Hall coming back, both out of the transfer portal. Then Brody Kozlowski, a local four-star kid, signs with BYU. How important were those three pieces in your first steps into this job?
Really important. I give Coach all the credit for Dallin and Richie. I always tell people there's a lot of things that you juggle all the time as a coach, especially as a head coach. But there's one resource that's most important, and I don't think anyone has mastered it in coaching history, but that is time. And Coach Young said the first thing he wanted to do was get those guys back. So he spent all of his time trying to do that and invested all of it there. And I think that they noticed that, and he had a plan for them. And so I think that was really, really important as anything to this roster. Brody Kozlowski, he's a guy that I recruited when I was at Stanford as well. When we got the job, I told Coach the first guy we need to go after is this guy right here. And he watched film and he said, "You're completely right. Let's get him." So that was a huge priority. So it was great to be able to get him done as well.
Yeah, he's big time, man. And his mom's an analyst with us, has been for a long time. So we're particularly excited about the mother-son dynamic there, which will be really fun and unique. In terms of the other scholarships available, somewhere around 4, something like that, what are you guys looking for specifically among those positions?
I think we've got a good core of tough, high IQ guys. Obviously, they're experienced. They play extremely hard. That's one of the biggest things about this group. But I think what we need to add is some athleticism, get a little bit more dynamic, a rim rolling 5, an athletic guard that can kind of create off the bounce, We need to get someone 6'6", 6'7" range that can defend some of the best athletes, perimeter athletes in the Big 12. So I think those are the areas we're looking at most right now. And trying to fill just the added pieces to our team, because I think we do have a great core. Obviously, they had a lot of success last year. So we just want to add to that and enhance that with things that we may not have a lot of.
Do you move forward assuming that Jackson Robinson is gone and not coming back, and that is a 6'7" type body and a position you've got to replace, or do you kind of just hold out a spot for him just in case?
Well, if Jackson wants to be here, we're gonna have a spot for him. So, but right now, we want to support him as best as we can for his journey to the NBA and working through his draft process. So that's we're allowing him to focus on that right now. But if he does come back to college, we'll put everything we can into bringing him here. And I think there's a good sell with that, with coach's background. And if you want to be an NBA player, why not play for a guy who's been there the last 8 years and who has contacts to every team in the entire league? And so I think we have a good sell for him. But right now, we just want to support him as best as possible throughout this journey, through this draft process.
Jax, come on back. We'll get you in the first round, Doc. Let's go. That's the sell. Let's go. In terms of how BYU is being received in the transfer portal and among recruits as you go out there, obviously you're a new staff and it's new to BYU, but after that first year in the Big 12 and the success BYU had, and obviously Kevin's experience in the NBA, how are people receiving BYU right now on the recruiting trail?
It's been really good. I think they have seen the success. The Big 12 obviously makes a huge difference. And obviously what they did, fifth place that in a six-seed in a tournament, that's huge, as well as Kevin's background and what he's been able to do and where he's been. I think that's all huge. The one thing about BYU, and it attracted me, this attracted me as well. It's similar to Stanford. They're different, but it's similar in the fact that you've got to get the right type of guys in here. Not everybody fits. And a lot of people see that as a not a good thing. I see it as a great thing, because you know you're going to get high quality individuals here. And guys that you can retain as well, because if you're coming to BYU, you're coming for more than just basketball. And to me, that is an attractive thing. You know, you're going to have guys who will fit into your culture, who will fit with other guys here and are about more than just basketball. Now, we still want to get them to the highest level and win at the highest level, but you can do it with high quality, high character people.
Let's finish with this one and a follow-up on that. The ESPN reporting that there's 2,000 kids in the transfer portal today, and you're looking for about three or four of them. When can Cougar Nation start to expect to see BYU signing the guys that are currently on your hit list? They see everybody getting guys here and there, and there are so many. When do you feel like the BYU's in a position to say, this guy's in, this guy's in, this guy's in?
I think within the next few weeks here, that'll be the case. We're being very selective. I think, one, because we have a good roster coming back. And Coach Young, I think everyone will see this, he is very, very intentional about not just the roster or the roster dynamic as far as the skill sets and those type things, but personalities and things like that as well. So we're trying to figure that out. I mean, he's been in the G League, where sometimes he'll have 40 players throughout a year on a roster. And he wants to make sure that when we do this, we have the right complementary personalities as well as the right complementary players. And I think it's the same thing for staff, which is why it's taken a little bit of time, because he's very, very detailed with that part of it. So, but I think in the next few weeks here, we'll be able to see some stuff happen. Hopefully sooner than later.
You've seen your former school, Arizona State, in the Pac-12, of course, but now in the Big 12. What are you looking forward to the most with BYU and Arizona State this year?
It's always fun going to Desert Financial Arena, so I don't know that I've lost a game there in the last couple years.
Let's go.
Keep that streak up.
Good while you were there, and then good against the Sun Devils. Brandon, we appreciate the time. Best of luck, and getting the Provo and recruiting and putting the staff together. You're a busy man. We appreciate the time.
No, perfect. I appreciate it. I'm super excited about it.
Let's go. Brandon Dunson, the newest men's basketball assistant coach on BYU Sports Nation.
It's a great vision there.
Yeah.
I think BYU fans listening to that are going, all right.
I liked the, we need a rim rolling five, an athletic guard who can create off the bounce, and a 6'6 or 6'7 guy who can defend athletes. We know the type of guys they would like to go get. That's awesome.
All right. Hey, baseball news. The Birds, you know, fly south for the winter. BYU is going south for the spring. Miami, BYU, three-game series. It starts Thursday night at 7 Eastern. Greg Rubel on the call on BYU Radio.
Let's send Ty Detmer down there to throw out the first pitch. Coming up, the latest on Zach Wilson's future in Denver this and next season, and which four football players jumped in the portal yesterday. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media. There's content there for you the whole day. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
I'm Jerem. He's Dave. It's time for today's headlines.
Yesterday, four BYU football players, including defensive tackle Danny Saili, quarterback Ryder Burton, wide receiver Devin Downing, and linebacker Chaz Hayu, entered the transfer portal. Makes a total of 7 Cougars to enter the portal since spring ball.
Honestly, it's not that many, and there's not been that many kind of two-deep guys, so best of luck to these fellas. As reported by ESPN's Jeff Legwold, the Denver Broncos will not pick up the fifth-year option for quarterback Zach Wilson. This will make Wilson a free agent after this season. He would have been owed a guaranteed $22.4 million.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that in a moment. BYU linebacker A.J. Bong-Pajong was given a mini-camp invite to the New York Jets. After he wasn't selected in the NFL draft, these rookie mini camps are held this week and next week, either or, and we wish AJ the best with the Jets.
Softball beat Idaho State 5-1 last night in Pocatello. Chloe Temples pitched a complete game, striking out 11 to get the win. Aliyah Ogbayani led the Cougar offense, going 2-for-4 with a double and 2 ribbies. Up next for softball, the final series of the regular season at Kansas beginning tomorrow.
BYU men's and women's track and field are both ranked 25th in the latest USTF CCAA rankings. Could there be a bigger organization? But their rankings have the Cougars ranked number 25. Up next, the Big 12 championships next week. It's that time of year. It's title time.
Yes, it is. And men's volleyball announced it will take a foreign trip to Portugal, Spain, and Turkey May 6th through the 18th. I have not been invited.
Feels like you should have been invited.
That's okay. Next time. Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Cougar Whip Around is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
You'll be invited when they go to Moab and swing over to Fillmore. And
they went to Brazil and I didn't get the invite. I ain't getting the invite.
All right. What does the Broncos deciding not to pick up Zach Wilson's fifth-year option mean for Zach's future?
Certainly, this is a proving ground this year, Dave. If he gets the chance to win the job and kind of lead out before Bo Nix is ushered in at some point, he has an opportunity to butter his bread and get a contract for next year. It's a huge year for him, a contract year. And I think he'll get a chance. If he wins the job, ideally you don't start a rookie, even at number 12. For the Broncos, but Zach's got an opportunity.
It's the first time he's had to compete for a contract since the COVID year of 2020. That's how he got to the Jets, and we all know what's happened with the Jets. And now here are the Broncos and a wise head coach going, hey, let's push him. Let's see what he's got. And if he's good, we'll pay him. Everyone will pay a good quarterback. And it could also be his last year in the NFL. It just depends on Zach.
I would think he'd get some type of backup option somewhere, regardless of whether he does that well or not. I'd be surprised if he's out of the league next year, but he has an opportunity to kind of be interesting going into a contract game next
year. It took a long time for the Broncos to do the deal with him as he sat out there. And we're like, why isn't a team picking him up? And they didn't. And here's Denver taking a chance. I hope so. I hope Zach plays for 10 years.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But next year, this season's going to be a big one.
A big year.
For him.
Yep. Yeah. Which of the BYU football players who entered the portal yesterday surprised you the most?
Saili came in with big size and targeted to fill a big role there at the nose where BYU has needed help. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. And maybe there's an opportunity better for you and an opportunity better for BYU. I kind of see that as this. That's the surprise. Ryder Burton, we talked about earlier. We're not homegrown quarterbacks. Right? The portal has kind of moved in to take that. Now, no offensive coordinator will say, that's true. We are going to homegrown quarterbacks. We're just not. And this is kind of evidence of that.
And we'll see how it goes in the future with Noah Lugo and Watson and some others. But we are a few years away from that, right? And will they get the opportunity to show that? We'll see. Saili for sure is the one, because he was coming in to be like the next Kyrus Tonga-ish type from a JUCO. And he's out after a couple of months, so that's disappointing. But, you know, Chaz Aiyu, I didn't know he had eligibility left, and he's in the portal.
So you know, I think somebody said he tweeted, why not? And it's like, you know what?
Best of luck to Chaz.
Why not?
I like
go,
Chaz.
Go get it somewhere and play. Yeah. And you know, I wish for Chaz health. Just
100%.
Be healthy. Whatever you're going to do, just do it healthy.
Yeah, if I could give anybody anything, it'd be that. Right?
Yeah, and he's been through the ringer.
Yep. He did graduate from BYU, so congrats to Chaz.
Yeah.
After the break, Matt Brown of Extra Points Newsletter breaks down the conversation around revenue sharing, unlimited transfers, and of course, he's been all over this. The EA Sports College Football video game that's coming back, baby!
Oh, we have a question for him.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B in Provo, Utah. Jeremy Jordan alongside Dave McCann. I don't know if you're a video game guy at this point, Dave, but I don't play a ton of video games. But when I do, it's EA College Football 2013, which is the last or 14, last edition they made. That game is coming back, baby. And for more on that and many things in the college sports landscape, we bring in Matt Brown, friend of the program from Extra Points Newsletter. Matt! Can you confirm that you're not a guidance counselor and that these pennants are a choice behind you?
It's true. I only bought like five or six of these things from all places where I lived. And then over the course of this beat, you're on an interview with an AD or a president or something, and they go, well, why don't you have my school? Well, here's my P.O. box. You could send it to me, and I've been lucky. My favorite, though, is still very much the Best Dad University one that my kids made me for Christmas last year. Everything else, wonderful, but... hard to beat that school.
Yeah, you can't beat that one. That one's undefeated. Hey, we've been talking about Pete Thamel's report on the future of college sports and the deep discussions that are said to be underway in settlement ideas for the battle with the NCAA and what to do about revenue sharing for athletes. So let me start with this question. At what point do you think you'll be back on this show to discuss the fact that college athletes are going to get paid like employees?
Well, it's a good question. I've been hearing on the AD and commissioner side for a couple of months that a settlement in the House case was the most likely outcome. If that case goes to trial, which is scheduled for next year, and the NCAA lost, they were looking at $4 billion in damages, which the NCAA, like in Indianapolis, does not have. The major conferences are also named defendants in that case, and that would end up being a really significant liability for every member institution of those schools. So, but the big question, I think, for me isn't so much, does this settlement happen? And I think it does potentially in the next 60 days. It's going to be what happens after that, because if you create a revenue sharing plan without somebody else on the bargaining table to negotiate with, you know, in the pro sports, we have unions, we have somebody else for CBA. If you impose that unilaterally without solving the employment question, I believe, and I've heard this from other people in the industry, you have the risk for additional litigation, and that we could be doing the same song and dance again 6 months from now until there's bigger solutions. If you are somebody who is a football or basketball player in a power conference, though, I believe, continue to believe, it's very likely in the near future you will be getting some kind of direct revenue from your institution rather than a third-party collective or a donor bag man before the end of your eligibility. We are definitely moving in that direction.
Mm. And for most of them, they probably don't care where it comes from, just as long as it's coming in, right? What is it that is still left in the conversation of making this nearly fully professional, but you just happen to go to some classes and represent a certain university year to year?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because when you talk to the university presidents, almost universally, they're very against the idea of classifying athletes as employees.
Yeah.
And there's some political and legal reasons for this, right? Someone's an employee, they can get workers' comp, you have to pay payroll and Social Security taxes, depending on the state, maybe they can unionize, and then you have some states where unionization of a public employee might be legal, and some where it's not legal, and it creates a lot of other regulatory issues. But the part of the challenge is if you start to share tens of millions of dollars of revenue with somebody for their performance and you control them like an employee, it becomes increasingly difficult to argue in front of a judge that they're not an employee. And I think what's one of the really fascinating questions to me over these next several months is for universities that can afford to pay athletes as employees, and I would think BYU would be one of those, along with Utah and potentially others in this market. I think the big question is, are they comfortable doing that ideologically? You know, the amateur sports, as we might have defined them in the early 1900s, that hasn't existed for a long time. And you know, the kind of window of how we define amateurism changes. But at some point, some schools might decide, you know, we could afford this, but this isn't what we signed up for, and this isn't what we want to do. And I wouldn't be shocked if there are institutions throughout the country, perhaps Ivy League institutions, perhaps religious institutions, perhaps other kinds of schools that say we'd rather operate in a Division III model, even though we have a big television contract, than pursue something that's explicitly baby NFL. And that's going to be a question that I think every regent and president and sponsoring institution needs to ask themselves right now.
Or even get out of sports altogether, as expensive as it is and how hard it's getting. Go ahead.
Oh, no, please. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, I say one thing that's adding to the saga is the transfer portal, which today has 2,000 kids in the basketball portal. Portal closes today. I'm not exactly sure what that means because it seems like it's open all the time. But this unlimited transfer rule, which allows kids to go whenever they want, wherever they want, has added to the chaos on the other side, as they're all free agents.
Yeah, it's been an enormous struggle for coaches and for people that work in operations and work in administration. Even if they're not against athlete mobility or sharing revenue opportunities with athletes, just because you don't know who's on your team. And that the roster management has become even more explicitly transactional than it has been before. I think another one of the challenges in the system that probably doesn't get talked about enough is that the more you transfer, the harder it is to get your credits to move over from institution to institution and to progress towards a degree, right? There are classes that are part of the standard BYU curriculum that might not neatly fall into the major at somebody attending a secular university and the other way around. And so I think there's a risk, and we're starting to hear about this a little bit as players are looking for third or potentially their fourth school and realizing I'm going to lose a whole year of academics if I move here because a lot of my credits don't transfer. The only way to really stop this, though, is to do the thing that schools are really reluctant to do, which is treat them and classify them as employees, right? For the rest of us, if there's somebody that wants to hire us, most of us can leave our jobs whenever we want or potentially pay some kind of contract buyout. We have free agency in other industries. We have that for regular students. There's nothing stopping anybody from leaving BYU and going to UVU to study computer science. If you want to stop that, there's legal classifications that have to change that not everybody really wants to do.
We're talking to Matt Brown of Extra Points Newsletter on BYU Sports Nation. Let's now talk about perhaps the most important subject in the history of sports subjects, which is EA Sports.
Naturally.
College football is coming back, baby. You've been leading the charge on a lot of information here. What is the latest? When can we expect the game this summer?
You can expect the game this summer in July. I've reported a couple of times the game is expected to come out on the 19th. EA hasn't officially confirmed that, but that's been pretty consistent from my sourcing. The reason that I think I'm getting on more of these shows this week is I found out who's going to be on the cover of the game. Negotiated with EA because they're like, please don't give the exact names, but you can give some clues here. But what I can tell everybody is that it's more than one athlete because there's more than one cover of the game. If you buy Madden, you buy NBA 2K, there's like a standard and a deluxe and super fancy deluxe version. So there's going to be multiple athletes. They play different positions. They come from different conferences. And they're all in power leagues. So I think I can say this without like black helicopters coming and taking me away here. There's going to be a Big 12 athlete who's a current college football player who will be on one of these covers. If you want to see who it is, EA should release that information, I think, in the next two-ish weeks.
How are they capturing the uniqueness of say, BYU, for example, and its traditions?
Sure.
How is that being added into this game?
I think that's been one of the most fun things about this story to really track, because college football is such a very different animal from professional football because of all of those little traditions and little bits of pageantry and local tweaks that make going to every game so completely different. And that's something that EA has spent a lot of time and energy on, and working with schools to make sure that they're depicting the game day environment of each school as accurately as possible. So specifically for BYU, that means not just hundreds and hundreds of photographs of LaBelle Edwards Stadium. I think many of these were taken before recent renovations, but then like they send a blueprint so you can make sure the stadium looks exactly like it does in glorious, digitally rendered 3D. But also asking schools, hey, what audio do you play during pregame? What audio do you play on third downs? What are crowd chants that are not R-rated that we can put in this game that other schools are doing here, right? What songs besides your fight song are you putting in? Because they want it to seem like playing a game at Utah or at BYU or at Minnesota looks and feels very different. I've gotten some of that information here through open records requests. Can't really do that at BYU because it's a private school, but I have talked to people there, and I think one thing I can explicitly confirm from both BYU and Electronic Arts is that popcorn popping will not make an appearance.
I was going to ask that exact question, Matt.
Of course, it's funny because like I was talking with somebody at EA. He was like about BYU submissions. I joked like, listen, I'm gonna push in all my chips and put in every bit of influence I have here. I don't care if BYU put that song in the game. I will tell you, no, oh, that's a deeply offensive anti-LDS slur. You can't possibly put that in there. It'd be super offensive. Thankfully, it didn't come to that. But if you want this game to have primary music, you're just going to have to overdub it yourself because it won't be in there.
Hey, Matt, we've got a favor to ask because we expect you'll be one of the first to see this game. And if and when that's the case, and you're certainly welcome back on this show anytime, we want you to find out who the starting quarterback is for BYU and then tip us off.
If I get that information before Kalani shares it with everybody, I will be happy to text him.
That would be awesome. How did we know it was Gary Bohannon or Jake Retzlaff? EA Sports. It's in the game.
Wouldn't that be appropriate?
Shedeur Sanders is my guest for the Big 12 cover, by the way. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, I can't say that on the air or not, but sure, that could be a guess.
Yeah, okay. Indeed it is. Matt, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the latest on popcorn popping in college football 2024. Thanks, man.
Anytime, fellas. Thanks for having me.
That's awesome.
Matt Brown of Extra Points Newsletter. He's great about kind of the everything around college athletics. He gives great insight.
How about you buy that?
He's a member of the church, by the way. He went to Ohio State.
Oh, he's a Buckeye?
Provides a nice perspective.
How about you buy that game the end of July, and you put it in there, and you're going to be BYU, and you're playing somebody, and out comes your team, and there's a quarterback you've never heard of before. Who's this guy? We haven't announced it yet.
What is that?
He's in.
We're having a baby in the second week of July, so this time it could not be better, Dave.
Yeah. That's a good
baby. Your boy's
going
to be on paternity leave playing some video games.
Hey, BYU softball hits the road for three games at Kansas starting tomorrow, 6 Eastern, on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Final weekend of the regular season before the Big 12 championships. And unlike the men, every softball team gets to go play for all the marbles in the Big 12 title game.
Do you think that shopping the transfer portal is the best way for the Cougars to secure quarterbacks? More of your responses after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, do you think that shopping the transfer portal is the best way for BYU to secure quarterbacks moving forward? At Devin Fish on X. Yes. Unless BYU can land a homegrown local quarterback who plans on sticking around for his career.
That's the catch. That's the catch.
That's the catch. Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, Nateo6 on Instagram. No, BYU needs to develop a quarterback like they did Zach and Jaren. Certainly there's some evidence recently of being able to do that. We'll see. The poll results on X, by the way, 82% still say no, it's not the best way. 18% say yes.
You know, to Jaren's credit, he waited for his time. He was willing to wait, sit on the bench. Didn't want to sit on the bench, but was willing to, and now he's in the NFL. It requires some patience.
Yes, it does. Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. We send our best to the women's tennis team who left campus earlier today, headed to the airport to go to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2007. Pretty cool that first year in the Big 12, they showed up.
Take down Auburn. On Friday, get going. Be awesome.
Our thanks to today's guests, Brandon Dunson and Matt Brown.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I am Jeremy. Shout out to Allie Hancock. What a show we had on this one. More BYUSN coming up tomorrow as baseball heads to Miami to take on the Hurricanes. Nice. Go Cougs.